Hey, Adultish fam, it's Naj. I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods visited four California prisons, and they gathered funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who were grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also, coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom and daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you listen to Adultish.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I remember I called the bros up for a little shindig. We got the ham, we got the chicken, I brought the charcoal out, we got the grill going. So I put the chicken on the grill, you know, we all turned, and the chicken cooking pretty quick, but my problem was I put too much charcoal in it. I didn't know that. So the chicken was cooking real quick. I'm like, okay, maybe this thing's ready. So I got everything ready, the barbecue sauce, all that. We was ready, mouth all watering up, took a bite into it, and it was raw inside. It was terrible.
Oh my gosh, which friend was that?
That was my boy Craig. He took a fat L.
Wow. Yeah.
Gregory Keith Hill for everybody out there.
Ooh. Well, everybody, I'm Merk Nguyen.
And I'm Naj Turner.
And this is Adultish, produced by YR Media, a show where we do not eat Greg's chicken wings because they're not approved by the FDA.
For sure, not approved by the FDA. Let me know about your cooking skills, though, since you're coming for Greg.
Oh. Okay, well, I'd say I'm decent. I didn't necessarily grow up cooking because other people cooked for me, whether it was my mom, my dad, my brother, or sister. Mm-hmm. So it's when I moved out, 2 years ago is when I actually started to want to cook. But I didn't say I think it was probably when I moved to LA is when I actually started cooking and baking a lot more.
That's when you started getting in that cooking bag.
That cooking bag, that baking bag too. I actually think I started out baking more than cooking.
Speaking of baking bag, the cookies that you just sent me were pretty fire.
Oh, that's right.
Those were clean. Them little coconut. I see what you was doing with the little, yeah, you know what I mean?
Just gotta but, make your life sweet.
yeah.
What about you? Other than eating cookies, what would you say about your cooking skills?
I think I'm pretty nice in the kitchen. I think I got a little finesse, you know? But I mean, I've been cooking for a long time, and I feel like I definitely have a lot of areas I could get better in. But yeah, I love being in the kitchen. It just brings me so much relaxation.
I mean, you even had your own YouTube channel where you were cooking food. So that's a flex.
I did. It was fun. Me and my friend Todd would just like cook all the time. So we turned it into a YouTube channel that, you know, failed. But
that's okay. You can still say you did it.
Yeah, we did.
What do you think, Chef Nige, is your favorite thing about being in the kitchen cooking?
Ooh, barbecuing is probably one of my favorite things to do just because it's just such a ritual. Like, you go out, you marinate the night before, and then you go out early in the morning, like at the crack of dawn, and light up the pit, and you cook basically like all day. And then like your end product is just this like masterpiece that you put like your heart and soul into it. Aww. And it's a very spiritual experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of a rite of passage almost.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's my favorite thing about cooking is that you get to flex that you made this meal. It's a very big act of independence, actually.
Yeah.
I like the agency that comes with cooking, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's tight, but you can't don't mess up and then cook something really good because then you are now the cook and now you have to cook it every time the family has anything. So you got to watch out for that out there. Don't cook too good.
I got to say, I make a pretty mean Italian wedding soup.
Ooh.
I make a good homemade Crunchwrap Supreme and bun sale, which is a Vietnamese savory crepe that, it was probably one of the biggest compliments of my life. My brother said, hey, that's one of the best panseo I've ever had. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Okay, Andy coming through with the big compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another thing that I really like about cooking is, so I watched this cooking show or whatever called Chef's Table on Netflix. Mm. And they were talking about the dance that two chefs do in the kitchen and how it's so much like improv and you're making stuff up on the fly and you don't know what the end product is until you're done with it. Mm. And that's what we do in real life with adulting. We don't know what we're going to be. We don't know what we're creating, but we're creating something and we're doing the dance. And that's why today's episode is Nom Nom-ish. And it's all about the food that you nom nom on.
Yes. How creative you can be with the noms, the preparation of it, what it says about where you come from, and how important it is to have quality food for everybody.
Yep. So first, we're talking to professional chef Dan Giusti, who went from being head chef of one of the best restaurants in the world to working in a middle school cafeteria.
And then later, we're going to have the first ever adultish Nom Nom cooking challenge with a special guest judge from our past seasons who y'all are pretty familiar with. All right, let's dig in.
Here with us today is Dan Giusti. He's the former head chef of Noma, one of the most famous and critically acclaimed restaurants in the world. We're talking 2 Michelin star status, being awarded the best restaurant in the world title multiple years running, and serving up wild dishes like high quality steaks with, you know, a little sprinkle of live ants.
That's it.
But that's not even the coolest thing about Dan. In 2016, he left the fine dining scene to start an organization called Brigade. They're a team of chefs who are changing up the public school cafeteria game by creating delicious and nutritious meals for kids across America. So with that, hello, Chef Dan.
Hello, what's up? How's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going good, going good. My first question is, what kind of school lunches do you remember eating as a young Dan?
As a kid, I did bring lunch, I think, most of the time. I was like one of these kids that would bring lunch to school and had like a whole like green pepper in his bag. Oh. And I'd eat it like an apple. Like,
okay.
I was like that kind of kid. But when I was in high school, I was working a full-time job as a cook in a restaurant. So food at that point was already very important to me. It's mm-hmm. what I wanted to do for my career. I don't even associate food as part of high school. Like, I remember when I had break for lunch, it was just about hanging out with friends. I didn't even eat. And yeah. Now, of course, with that said, and I think it's an important topic to talk about, is I was lucky enough that I didn't have to eat at lunch. And, you know, a big part of the reason we do the work that we do is because there are a lot of kids in this country that school lunch is when they're going to eat. And I don't think a lot of people realize that.
I was in charge of making my own lunch from like,
yeah,
probably like fourth grade until now. And yeah, it was just like, I remember I had this one friend, Raymond, and his mom would always make him salami sandwiches. And it was like salami and mustard, like the most basic sandwiches ever. But
that's a good sandwich.
I would never have any time to like make a sandwich in the morning. I would just grab a bunch of snacks and put them in like a plastic bag or whatever. And so every time at lunch, he would take his sandwich, he would give me one of his sandwiches, and then I would give him like the snacks. We'd like divvy up the snacks in between each other.
Little trade.
And that's how we would have like complete lunches.
I mean, I will say there was a time I feel like when I used to bring lunch to school that was just, and I don't know like what was going on in my house, but I felt like it was like a bunch of bags inside of other bags. Like, it was like things that were purchased inside of a bag and then inside of another bag. Everything was like a package that you opened.
Hot lunches were my thing back in elementary school, but then middle high school, it was like, yeah, do your own thing. Or my mom, she, bless that woman, she would pack stuff.
Nice.
But my favorite hot lunch was what was supposed to be Sicilian styled pizza, but it was just like rubbery rectangle pizza with the cubed pepperonis. And it was so good. And it was soft. And it was crap, but I loved it. And just thinking about it, it's just so nostalgic. But now that I've had more food, I'm like, oh, I was eating that back in the day.
That rubbery pizza is crazy because, like, you don't understand, like, what's going on with that. And then, like, now that's my life, is trying to figure out, like, how to do these things. And the cheese that we have to use, or the cheese we end up using for a lot of reasons, is so low in fat, and the quality is pretty poor that it actually, in a lot of cases, will burn before it melts, if that makes any sense.
So that's what was up with the pizza.
That's what's up with the pizza, unfortunately.
I mean, you've got an impressive background with Noma and fine dining in general, and that's a whole different atmosphere than what we're talking about, which is public school lunchroom full of kids. What's one of the meanest and or nicest things one of the kids you've cooked for has said to you?
Oh, shit. We could talk the whole show about the things that have been said or done when we first started. Ooh, it's actually pretty hilarious, so I'm just going to tell you some stories. At the end of our first year in New London, Connecticut was where we started. It was like this, we started in the fall. It was the springtime. And it was like out of a movie. This girl was running for student government for like the following year. It was like out of like a, you know, one of these like teenage movies. And she's running for like class president. She was literally advocating to change the food back to what it was before we came as part of her campaign, because we took away like chicken patties, chicken nuggets, stuff like that, and we switched it to like scratch made food. I mean, we've had enough stuff that's just like, it makes you wonder, like, what are we doing? On the other side, we've had definitely enough positive moments, but I will say the positive moments are few and far between. And why? It's because, like, in so many ways, like, it's lunch for these kids. Like, this is our life. But in a lot of ways, like, these kids, they eat lunch. And if it's good, they're probably not even going to say anything. They just go on with their day. They go outside, they have recess, they forget about that lunch, they don't think about it again. For us, we're like, it's all we think about. Right. But we had a high school kid one time, and he was like, I don't even like the meal that you're serving today, but we see you're working really hard, and that means a lot to us.
Yeah.
We get just enough positive feedback to keep us really motivated to keep going, for sure.
I love that.
Your approach to Brigade focuses on relationships with the young people that you're serving. Your team goes out and essentially hypes up the kids for what's going to be on the menu next, right?
Yeah.
So we try. Why this approach? Why this approach?
Yeah. Actually, when I was at Noma, you know, we served all these like crazy meals, and a lot of the stuff. Yeah, don't get me wrong. A lot of the people who ate at Noma were like, this is what they, I swear, this is like what they do. There's some people living some crazy lives out there. They're just like going from place to place around the world, just eating at all these restaurants, checking them off a list. But we did get our share of people who were like, you put a dish of beef tartare, raw beef, you know, seasoned with ants in front of them. And and they're just kind of like, okay, like what is this? And at Noma, the chef served most of the food, which was pretty cool. Like, you'd make it and like run out in the dining room and serve it. And we had chefs from all over the world. We were representing like 20 plus nations and our guests from all over the world too. And like, even though you had these people who were there to eat the food and they're like, this was this crazy experience, it's still, I think, the most impactful part of eating there was the chefs out there. And like, sometimes it meant making a little bit of a joke about the food just to ease people, you know, like to get, make people feel comfortable, like, And it's such an important part of getting people to try things. And like, the other thing is, like, think about like eating food that your family makes for you. Like, you, if you know who's making your food and you like them, you're kind of think your likelihood to try it or enjoy it even is much higher than if you just, the food's coming from wherever. I'm 6 foot six. I'm a tall guy. I go out into a cafeteria and there's like these kids that are like 2 feet tall. They're like, they're just like running around and like, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get these kids to try kale salad, you know? Like, and I like sit down at the cafeteria table with like 4 or 5 year olds. And I'm like, so how's the kale salad, kids? And like the girl just like looks at me and she's like, I have three sisters, you know, like she just like, just
like, about that. But the food, like, the food,
literally not even paying attention to anything I'm saying or like anything that's happening. And everybody, kids are just like running around and it takes a lot. Like lunch is 20 minutes long in a lot of places and there's 300 kids. And so your ability to reach every kid is few and far between, but the luxury of institutional food in general, and we're talking about schools more specifically, is that even if you're reaching a few kids every day that where you can really be like one-on-one with them, it's enough to reach a lot of kids over time. So that's kind of what our strategy is.
So with Brigade, you and your team are cooking in schools and you're only given about $3 to make a meal, or $1.25 if you don't include labor and plating and eating utensils, which is obviously not a lot, but you make it work even with a small budget. And like y'all, it seems like a lot of young adults from our generation are trying to find the most effective way to do inexpensive meal prep, including myself. So can you tell us one of the best ways to make your money stretch?
I think there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, one thing I know is when I want to do these meals, sometimes I want to make a meal that's cheap. And I usually target for like $2.50 or less, $2.50 a meal cost or less. And I go to the supermarket and I just walk around. And, you know, instead of, because I think that's the thing that we have a problem with too. We know what we want to make. And, you know, especially if you're a little inexperienced, you find a recipe and you know what you want to make and you're kind of bound by that recipe. So you go to the supermarket and you're buying ingredients that it says to buy. In most cases, when you go to the supermarket, especially with perishable items like meat, there's tons of stuff on sale because there's things that...
Manager special.
Nothing wrong with that. Stuff's fine. You know, maybe the best way to approach it if you're not like super experienced in cooking is having a few ideas of what you want to make, a few recipes, and then go and start to look for things that are the cheapest. Because I think if you go in with an idea of exactly what you're going to buy, the likelihood that you're going to find the kind of the most cost-effective things is not, it's very unlikely. So I think that's the starting point. Also frozen foods, frozen vegetables, frozen fruits. There's a stigma around them. Like they're not great. They're actually in many cases more nutritious. If you have a small fridge or you have a small apartment, you don't have a lot of space. They take up less space. They're not perishable obviously because they're frozen. In many cases, they're more appropriate for a recipe than not, in that they have, you know, they might be, broken down to a certain point, they're processed already. So, you know, we're talking about price. We won't talk about price, but we're talking about time as well. I'm a firm believer that you can make a really good meal at home, a really nice meal, if it's for yourself or if it, even if you're trying to impress somebody, you know, you're trying to impress a certain someone, $2.50, you can make a pretty delicious meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question about that home cooking. So how do you not compromise your culinary creativity while ensuring whoever you're serving is satisfied? Because I'm insecure when I'm cooking, because I just always worry about under or over seasoning or whatever. Because I know what tastes good to me, but you never know, like when you're cooking for other people. So how do you find like that nice balance, especially in your position too, because kids are pretty picky sometimes?
I've come to realize, I think, that you can kind of cook in two ways. And I say this a lot, where you could cook for yourself, which I think if you're a chef, especially in a fine dining restaurant where people are paying a lot of money, they're coming to eat your food. Like they are coming to eat your vision, or you could cook for other people.
Bars.
And what we do now, we cook for other people. If you cook for a family in your home, you're cooking for other people. Like it doesn't really matter what you think at that point. So whether you're cooking for 1,000 kids or whether you're cooking for one person or whether you're cooking for a family of four, if you don't know that, it becomes really hard and it's a shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. And obviously in the work that we do in schools, or if you're feeding a family of four, you get to understand what the preferences and dislikes are of the people you're feeding. In the schools, you find out very quickly in terms of, you might serve a meal and out of 1,000 kids, 700 of them hate it. And it's like, yeah, you like it, but you really need to understand like what are the people you're cooking for really enjoy?
Thank you so much for being here, Chef. To learn more about his team, his story, and mission, check him out on Twitter at Brigade or the site chefsbrigade.com. And follow Dan on IG. He's at dan.juicy.
Thank you so much.
And now it's time for a special challenge segment between me and Nige. To ensure it was COVID compliant, we recorded over 2 days and through Zoom. Enough said. Take it away, announcer.
Welcome to the first annual Adultish Cabbage co-host cooking competition. This is a very fancy announcer and not Nige. Day one, we have Nigel Turner and the Southern Fried Cabbage.
What I'm about to do is, first I'm gonna heat up
this skillet. I'm gonna make southern fried cabbage because my family is from the South. So I was like, why not lean into my culture? So
the rules of this challenge were that we had 40 minutes to cook one dish that had cabbage, protein of choice, one acidic ingredient, one dairy ingredient, any kind of cooking oil we wanted, and up to 4 seasonings that does not include salt and pepper, plus a miscellaneous veggie.
But the cabbage needed to be the star.
So what is your miscellaneous vegetable?
What do you mean? Which one? This one that I'm using right now, or?
Wait, do you have more than one miscellaneous vegetable, bro?
What vegetables was I supposed to have?
I didn't break the rules. I just had to make a last minute adjustment.
Because Nige bought too many vegetables and didn't see we only had one miscellaneous veggie that we could use.
Slight oversight.
If I have to only use one now, because that's on me.
One now? Well, one enough. From the beginning. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying because I thought it was on me.
So basically, we told Dan Juicy that we had wanted one ingredient to base the whole entire dish around, and he picked cabbage, which was a shocker.
I was pretty stoked when I found out we were cooking with cabbage because I'm like, yeah, this is great. I get to make a vegetarian dish if I want, which means Nige is at a disadvantage.
I was pretty irritated when I found out that we were going to cook with cabbage because, I don't cook with cabbage, like, ever. So I was like, man, I'm going to lose.
Like, when I cook, I'm a very, like, therapeutic cook. So I take my time. I usually have, like, some oldies bumping. I was born by the river in a little tent. That's it. That's all y'all get.
So I prepare for the challenge by talking to some family members. I called my grandma. I was like, Grandma, I need to do something with cabbage. And we talked about some possible options. Chopped it with my grandma.
Grandma assist.
Cut it in half, and then now I need to get this pit out. The core of the cabbage? That's where all the bitterness comes from. A lot of people add sugar to their cabbage because it's so bitter. But if you just cut the core out, you won't get any of the bitterness in it. Now I'm going to add some Cajun seasoning. The Cajun seasoning isn't super spicy. It's just like, I don't know how else to describe the flavor palette of Cajun seasoning, but not really so much of a spicy, more of a twang.
Is that first test taste? What you thinking?
I was doing good.
You're dancing, so yeah, that looks like a good sign.
Red pepper? Because I think that's what I'm missing. Is that kick, you know what I mean? Oh yeah, we going crazy. A little vinegar in that thing. Just added a touch more Cajun seasoning just to top it off, just so it's bussing, you know, when you get it. I'm probably going to go with a pretty small serving size, to be honest, because...
So I can have more for myself.
I mean, yeah, and then also, like, in fine dining, like, they don't serve you a ton of food anyway. So I got this nice little bowl.
I see. So you're going for like the Michelin star restaurant.
Yes. Those are Davey's utensils.
We chose our judge, our former senior producer, Davey Kim, as a nod to all the times we've had food with him, someone who likes to talk about food all the time. And because he's decently local to both of us, it was a very quarantine safe cooking challenge. Have it in a napkin wrapped in that nice fancy paper.
Yeah.
What?
So we're doing. And there, we're done.
So when I finished, I didn't really have a lot, like a ton of time on the clock. And so I brought it out the door and immediately I'm hit by the cold air, which made me nervous because I was like, oh man, it's going to cool off. And so then I'm like walking kind of fast and I'm trying to get to Davey, but then I'm like, oh, I'm walking too fast and that might be cooling it off. And then, I gave it to Davey. He pulled up in his car and stayed in the car, and I handed it to him in the window, and he did his thing.
Oh my gosh, he's coming.
Yep.
Nice.
Here you go.
My car smells amazing already.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
How are you feeling?
Feeling really confident. Feeling really confident. Yeah.
Okay.
I really like how it came out. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't wait for you to dig in.
All right. Well, I'll get started then. It's got a nice balance. I can see some bacon and cabbage. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not a big cabbage eater.
Oh, yeah?
I like cabbage crunchy and Korean.
Mm.
I like certain types of Korean cabbage dishes and cabbage and salad, but so this is going to be an experience.
Taste it southern.
Mmm. Whoa, that taste really develops. Wow, this is so good.
Thank you.
Do you have more of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there were specific criteria for this challenge, and there were 6 categories. 1, originality and creativity. 2, texture and color. 3, cooking techniques. 4, flavor profiles. 5, recipe ingredients. And the last one, judges' discretion. This was all on a 5-point scale.
I will say, one, I don't know if the dish is supposed to be on the slightly less salty side. I guess maybe I'm just a fan of saltier dishes. Your final score for this dish is a 4.3. This is like a meal I would eat once a week over rice with some hot sauce. Mm. Overall, I thought this was a fantastic dish, and great job.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I was to make the dish again, I would put a little more salt. That's it.
Day 2. We have Merc Nguyen and the Cabbage Basil Sweet Soy Sauce Stir Fry.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so everybody, today I am making food. I'm going to start out by chopping this onion in half. And this dish I'm going to be making today is going to be stir fry cabbage. The seasoning is going to be a soy sauce with brown sugar in warm water and basil, so it's like a sweeter soy sauce. I prepared for this challenge by writing down a whole bunch of ingredients that I thought would make this dish pop. I'm like, ooh, this texture would go good with this texture, and I physically wrote it down on a big piece of paper. Did I actually practice the ingredients? No, but the thought was there. Right now, I'm just going to start by dicing my onion. Now I'm going to get a small little spatula, as Mr. Crab says, and make sure all my onions are coated in the oil and lower my heat, because the key to caramelized onions is slow and steady wins the race. However, I did not a good job of peeling my onions, so our judge might get some onion skins. Let's hope that's not the case. I'm going to try to get them all out now. How are we at on time? Okay.
Now you can leave them in there. I'll be all right.
No, you know what? I kind of want to win. Do you not know what my last name is? It's Nguyen, because you know why?
Because winning would be new.
Oh, wow. You're going to the graveyard. Okay, I have put in 3 pinches of brown sugar into this sauce. The reason why I want this sweet is because I know that I'm going to be using the cabbage, which is kind of bland in flavor, and because I want to use the harder parts of it, since the onion is already going to be soft and caramelized, I want him to have a crunch factor when he bites into it. Now I'm putting some basil, this is one of my seasonings, into my soy sauce, brown sugar, water mixture. I just love the flavor of basil. It reminds me of when I have pho. Basil is served with it. And you know, it's funny, people are like, oh my gosh, you're Vietnamese, did you grow up eating pho all the time? No, bitch, I didn't, because, well, no, I did, but there are so many other Viet dishes. Pho is fine, but I think anyone from any cultural background, they know there's so much more food other than like the staple, what everyone else knows. But basil just reminds me of the homeland. You know, if I had long chopsticks like my mom does back home, I would cook with those. But like, my mom's not here, and I have tongs, so I'm gonna use those. Hear that sizzle? Hold on, let me try some cabbage real quick. Oh yeah, baby. I'm gonna put in the soy sauce now.
I've been watching Master Chef like nonstop, and they just always like commentate when people are like doing that. They're like, soy sauce is going in. Merc's got her cabbage in the pan.
Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, excuse me. Run down the list. Okay. So with that,
I have not used a dairy ingredient yet, and because this is not a vegan dish, it's vegetarian, I'm gonna use unsalted butter. Okay, so the protein I have chosen for today are eggs. I wanted to make this a vegetarian-friendly dish. I'm going to, the pan is low heat, stick of butter. Hear a little bit of that sizzle. Now, I'm gonna crack the egg.
You see what Merk is doing right now when she puts the lid on, she's trying to get a nice glaze over the top of the egg. It's a very nice technique. I learned this technique as well in the south of France.
What?
Just talking.
Yeah, clearly.
Narrating your movements.
Okay, now I'm going to carefully.
Now here's the moment of truth. It's a very difficult maneuver. The yolk is intact.
Yolk is intact.
Wow.
I believe I'm done. Service!
Ding, service! Ding.
So once I put my final touches on it with cherry tomatoes, put it on the plate, put the sauce in a little thing, I opened the door, went down a flight of stairs and another, and then I walked out to the pool where I had to strategically open up the gate without dropping anything. And then boom.
Okay. Yum. For me, I'll just start off by saying this is something that I could eat every day for like that kind of like brunch hour, you know, like a little, I'm not a big breakfast eater, but if I'm like hungry and I don't want to eat lunch, this is perfect for that.
Awesome.
And this sauce, can you tell me a little bit about the sauce?
Yeah, it's a brown sugar soy sauce with diluted in water and basil, dried basil, semi-dried basil.
Right. And I know you mentioned these are some of the flavors that you grew up with. And yeah, I would have never, ever personally have created a dish with all these kind of veggies and sauces. I do like how the tomatoes are pretty fresh, but there's a little bit of like a disconnect between like the dish where it's cooked and then the tomatoes that's like really fresh. And so it was a little bit tricky to kind of like grab everything with the fork. It's really good. I love the sauce and I feel like it was seasoned well. But as someone who prefers to over-season as a default, I felt like maybe it could use a little bit more of a pungent like garlic or something that gives it a little bit more of an edge.
And now it's time to announce the winner.
So, Merk, I have done the math here. And across 6 categories, you get 25 points. And if we were to average that out, you get 4.167 points, which rounds to 4.2 points, which is an amazing score. Nige, he came in with 4.33, which rounds to 4.3. He does edge you out by 0.1 point. And while he may have won this competition,
0.1 point.
I think this is an excellent dish.
I was really excited to win because the last time Merk and I competed, I lost. And I was like, all right, I'm not trying to rack up my second loss. And so I was juiced. I've been getting like a lot back into cooking lately. And it was good for my soul to get a win on this because I was like, man, if I don't win this, I'm not going to cook anymore. So it's really a win for Cabbage.
It really is. I told my parents on the way, I'm going to go eat some cabbage. And they're like, why would you do that? And I'm like, I have zero clue, but I'll let you know after. And so I'm excited to report back to them that like cabbage can actually be really good like this. So,
Nige, I think you did a really good job. Congrats on the win. And thank you for teaching me some stuff about cabbage that I didn't know.
Merk, I think you did a really great job. Your dish looked amazing and also nutritious because if you ate my dish every day, it would not be good for
you. You would sweat
body.
Bacon.
Yeah, facts.
This has been the first annual Adultish Nom Noms Cooking Challenge. Thanks for listening.
So today's top takeaways are make do with what you have and make sure that even when you're following your passion, you're doing it in a way that brings you fulfillment.
And 2, cooking has so many real life applications. Just like with our cabbage, with a little creativity, you can make one of the most humble ingredients sing like Nige in the kitchen.
All right, And with that, thanks for listening to Adultish, produced by YR Media, a national network of young artists and journalists creating content for this generation. Thank yous go out to our producer, Georgia Wright, executive producer, Rebecca Martin, and thank you to the fine folks at YR who made the art for this episode.
We're also proud to be members of Radiotopia by PRX, an independent, listener-supported collective of some of the most audibly delicious shows in all of podcasting. Find them, take an audio bite at radiotopia.fm. Oh yeah, and if you want to see the dishes we whipped up plus our recipes, come to our site, adultishpodcast.com, or follow us on all the socials at YRAdultish.
Now for next episode's Out of Context clip.
All right, everybody. Talk to you on Earth Day.
Talk to y'all on Earth Yay. See ya.
Radiotopia from PR.